Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning and happy 2023. It is January 9th, 2023. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Holy crap, we're back. Can you even believe it? Not me. Today's episode is actually brought to you by my 12-month readings. We'll talk about it a little bit during the break, but let's get our day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, there's always a light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it, by Amanda Gorman. So before I started recording, I was like so excited and so pumped, and I just shoved like two pieces of king cake into my mouth, and I'm like ready to go. And then I created a program that runs my all of our notes and stuff that we put together into like a nice little document for me to record the podcast. And it broke. The program broke. Anyone who is in any sort of coding knows that when that happens, an entire hour of your life is now instantly gone because you have to figure it out and test it. And your first solution is never the right solution. And anyways, oh my gosh, we're back. I can't believe it. I missed you guys. But we have some really cool, great things to talk about. I've been doing a lot over the winter break, and you're just like not going to believe any of it. And I'm so excited to share. But one of those things is a brand new tea. So we actually came up with this idea an entire year ago. So you can imagine me, someone who has no ability to keep my mouth shut or to keep anything a secret or to like wait on anything. You can imagine the sheer torture this was for me. So it is the Witch of Orleans. It is a Joan of Arc tea. So yeah, basically you're going to ask like how this tea came about. Let me tell you what's in the tea and then we'll talk about the story of it. Basically, this is a black tea, so there's caffeine, with chicory, cacao nibs, orange, cloves, dandelion root, and a cream flavor. And we're going to talk about what that cream flavor is. We're going to talk about why it's there. So let's talk a little bit about this tea. So about a year ago, like right in the middle of Mardi Gras, my friend Kristen and I were working on whatever tea was going on then. And one of us, maybe it was her or me, I don't remember, but was like, oh, we should do a Mardi Gras tea. That'd be so fun. Because there is a tea I absolutely love, and it is black tea with a cream flavoring. And you're going to be like, Tanya, really? Yes, I absolutely love it. It's absolutely delicious. But I could never like make that one of our teas because that's kind of boring, and I could never justify being like, hey, just buy plain black tea with this flavor. And so for those of you who need to know, the flavoring is a blend of oils that just mimic cream. So it's vegan safe, there's no whey and there's no dairy, but it's absolutely delicious and I've always loved it, but I was always kind of ashamed because it's just black tea with like this oil blend for, you know, for flavor. And when I say oil, that obviously the tea is not oily. Think of like an almond extract or like a vanilla extract, like that kind of thing. It's just like a flavor, right? And every single year since the beginning of tea, every single time it would be time to do a tea, I would like make myself a little cup of this tea with cream because I just really loved it. And I was going, oh, I just love this. I love this flavor so much, but I can't sell it. Like, it's just, it feels silly. And then we were like, I think it was Kristen, but she was like, what if you did a king cake flavor and you can use the cream that you love so much? And I was like, we can do that. We were like, oh my gosh, we can put cinnamon in it and you have to put chicory. It's New Orleans. And it became this idea And so this year, I finally sat down and I formulated the tea, and it is, I'm talking, it's knocked out of the park. So, and so it was about half of our teas are kind of universal blends, or maybe blends other people have, or you've seen other places. And half of our teas are literally like my recipe. I sat down and I created the recipe. This is one of those. So this is one of those that I created. When you order it, I have to get out my giant pot and blend it. You will not find it anywhere else. So yeah, I'm so excited. Like, only I know the recipe in my super secret notebook. So this is called The Witch of Orleans, Embrace New Orleans, and the King Cake Tradition that is marked by Joan of Arc. Every year, the Witch of Orleans is celebrated with King Cake, which is cinnamon, chicory cream, which are the main elements of this tea. So, basically, for those of you who don't know, Joan of Arc was a young peasant girl back a long time ago, who felt a divine calling to save France from the English. And she did it. She raised up and she became the head of an army, and she saved France. And she is absolutely beloved here in New Orleans. We have a monument to her, and every year a parade in her honor marks the first day of Mardi Gras. And it's also, it happens to be the first day where you are allowed, according to locals, to eat king cake. So this was just the perfect Mardi Gras tea. I wanted to do something that encompassed a few elements. For those of you who don't know, Joan of Arc eventually, unfortunately, was labeled a witch and burned at the stake. So that is the legacy she has left. And so in her honor, we have deemed this tea the Witch of Orleans. Not New Orleans, because the Witch of New Orleans is Marie Laveau. The Witch of Orleans, which is where she was born. Orleans, France. And yes, so that is this tea. I also send goodies with the tea. So if you order this tea, you're going to receive a little present. And I may even sneak little babies into the tea. Not the tea, the packaging. I'm not going to put little babies in your tea bag, but in the packaging, in your package, I may put a little baby with a little super secret little gift card. So yes, we are drinking Witch of Orleans. And you're like, Tanya, like, how do I know if I'll like it? If you like cinnamon, you'll like it. It is very cinnamon forward. So yeah, I'm so excited. Okay, let's move on because we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. Actually, we're going to go ahead and skip. So we're skipping two things this week because we have a lot to talk about. We're skipping headlines and we're skipping our card pull. And the reason for that is because I spent my winter holiday putting together an entire planner series. I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast really struggle to make time for their practice and really struggle to implement magic into their everyday. So I completed an entire series on different ways you can best manage your time as well as manage your quality of life. And there's a lot to get to. So we are skipping headlines and card pull. And after this break, we're going to dive into our planner series. So we're going to be talking about a few things: burnout, goals, time management. And then if you're like, Tanya, I just want radical contentment, then we'll also talk about ways to live a more intentional life. If you're like, you know what, I don't need to improve. I don't want hustle culture. I want hug culture. And if you just want to make your already great life a little bit more intentional, we will be talking about that on Friday. So there's something for everybody. I worked really hard on this series and I really hope you like it. And after the break, we will dig in.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, January 9th. The waning gibbous moon fills hearts in Leo today. Here, the moon opposes Saturn and squares Uranus. The Saturn-Uranus square is finally releasing, and we may be feeling some relief as we are able to start spreading our wings again. Saturn has been keeping a tight rein on Uranus's sudden shifts, and we may have been feeling hampered in our growth with this aspect. Now that Saturn and Uranus are starting to drift away from their tense square, we can start moving forward again, allowing some cathartic motion back into our lives. Your daily moon mantra is, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Hi, witches. It's me. I did want to share that every December and January, I do 12-month yearly readings. Basically, it is a reading that I do over audio that I email to you, and I go over what your year is going to look like. I give you ideas for what to write down in your planner, how to make hard times a little softer, what I think you can avoid, and what I think you're just going to have to muscle through. And I share good things. And as well as which months you can prep for harder months or ways you can celebrate things. And I absolutely love these readings. I have people who get the readings every year, and nothing makes me happier when I get like an email in August that was like, oh my gosh, your reading was spot on all year, and it just makes my day. So I only offer these in December and January. So if you want to check that out, go to tanyabrown.schedulista.com or go to witchpod.com if you want to schedule that. I stop offering them after January. All right, we are back. So I wrote a series for you this week, kind of as a, it can be whatever you need it to be, right? I do skew it magically because that is the topic of this podcast, but it can be used for anything. Monday, we're talking about burnout. Tuesday, we're talking about goal setting. Wednesday, we're talking about starting fresh. Thursday, we will be talking about time management. And then Friday, we're talking about, you know what, I don't want to set goals. My life's great, but I do want to make it a little bit more purposeful or more intentional. So I wanted to do something that encompassed a little bit of something for everyone. Before we get started, I do want to state not everything works for everybody. You find out what works for you by trying stuff, right? So I hope to offer you some stuff to try. And if you can take just one thing from the series this week that makes your life a little gentler, I really hope you find it. So today we're talking about burnout, how to avoid it and how to recover from it. According to Psych2Go, as of 2010, 75% of Americans have experienced burnout. So according to the Mayo Clinic, how you know if you've experienced burnout is, have you become cynical or critical? Do you drag yourself to work and have trouble getting started? Have you become irritated or impatient with coworkers, customers, or clients? Do you lack the energy to be consistently productive? Do you find it hard to concentrate? Do you lack satisfaction from your achievements? Do you feel disillusioned about your job? Are you using food, drugs, alcohol to feel better? Have your sleep habits changed? And are you troubled by unexplained headaches, stomach, bowel, or other physical complaints? So I definitely have had a lot of burnout this year. And what that has looked like is I've become very impatient. I used to be really, really patient, and I could really handle like a lot more. Like I could tolerate a lot more from the people around me or things like that. And I have found that my patience for those things have plummeted. Now, if I have a friend who like has annoying habits, they bother me more than maybe they used to. Not to say they weren't annoying before. It was annoying before. I just had more of a patience for it. My patience has plummeted. It is very clear now to my friends or people around me that if they do something I don't like, so I've become really, really impatient. I really struggle now to stay awake past 7 p.m. because of burnout. So that's kind of how it has looked for me, is I'm very impatient and I really, really struggle to stay up past 7, which is not great because after 7 is when I do my hobbies. And so it's like not only am I falling asleep really early, but I'm unable to complete the things that I love, and which is like this cycle, right? So how do we recover from burnout? So let's say you're like, Tanya, I have identified with like 4 of these things. How do I recover? Well, according to Katie Morton, for those of you on our Facebook group, I actually posted a video about her about 4 or 5 months ago. She is the burnout expert that did a video with the Try Guys. I shared that video. Katie Morton, she does have a YouTube channel. If you like this content, you can find her. So first off, exercise, proper diet, and sleep. And I think we all know this by now, right? It's like the holy trinity to having a manageable life. And if we're lacking in these areas, we need to prioritize these items first and foremost. I think when we hear exercise, proper diet, and sleep, we hear it so often that it starts to become like white noise. But it really is the secret to a lot of ailments. So if you find you're struggling in any of those, that is definitely something to work on immediately. I actually sleep a lot. I am just one of those people. I wake up with all fire, with all engines roaring. So I start out the day at 100%, and during the day I slowly wind down. I sleep a lot because of that. So I sleep a lot. My diet is really good, but I do struggle with exercise. After the pandemic, I never got those habits back of going outside and walking or spending time outside. So that is something I personally need to work on. Next is, how long of a vacation or break do you need for your brain to heal? Okay, so consider times you've went on vacation and a come back to work feeling completely rested versus coming back to work stressed out. I'm a big believer that you can make anything happen if you have at least a year to plan and budget. So think about this for a little bit and determine what you need. Is just a week good? Is just one day a week good to feel refreshed? Or do you need like 2 weeks to come back and not feel irritated? It's going to be different for everyone. So that is something you really need to determine, as it is personal for you. And then once you determine it, you're able to make allowances for that in your life. Determine what type of break do you need? Do you need to sit around and do nothing? Or do you need to go have fun experiences to unwind? Again, everyone's different, right? I am a little bit more of a sit around and do nothing. That really refreshes me. So I think for me personally, maybe getting one day a week where I could just do absolutely nothing is probably all I would need for my brain to heal. Whereas there are people out there who would need at least a week every few months, and they need to go have fun adventures. So you just have to figure out what works for you, what's going to heal your brain from burnout, and then again, I believe you can do anything if you have enough heads up. Once you know what you need, you can plan for it in your life, okay? So you may be someone who doesn't need a big long break like me, but instead a manageable small break each week. Unfortunately, we do live in a society where one person is expected to manage the load we once deemed suitable for 2 people. So if you work, manage your household, and still manage to eat decently and like wash your face every day, congrats, you are doing the work of 2 people. So it's no wonder we're exhausted. So I'm telling you, like, be easy on yourself. Be easier on yourself. If you're like, oh, Tanya, like I work and I pay my bills and I cook my own meals and I somehow manage a 3-step skincare routine, but I cannot keep my house clean. Of course you can't. Of course you can't. We expect too much on a single person to do. And when we've always have expected that job to be done by multiple people, or our lives to be managed by multiple people. The next thing, and this is kind of a hard one, but it is a good one. You should take a break every 45 minutes of work. So if you work 45 minutes, you should then take a 15-minute break. So let's say you're working like me right now, typing out this series. So far, working on this for you guys, I've spent about 35 minutes working on it so far. So in about 10 minutes, I'm probably going to put my computer down and go take my dog on a walk. So your daily list should, or you should be able to like compensate for that, right? So let's say you sit down to do a task at 11, and you should kind of keep your eye on the clock at 11:45. Go take a break, go take a walk. That's what you need to help prevent burnout. Next, your daily work list should not exceed more than 7 items. 7 items is the limit, according to Ms. Morton, and you may find you struggle to get past that magic number. Why is that the number? We don't know. It just is a good number. So your 7 items could be number one, check emails. Well, I'll just give you kind of an idea of like what my day sometimes looks like. Number one, check emails. Number two, format that chapter for that book. Number three, finish up and upload Olivia's new book cover to the printers. Number four, like go through my budget for the year. Number five, you get the idea. And of course, these are manageable tasks. When we say seven, that doesn't mean 7 emails and you're done for work for the day. And it also doesn't mean like complete these giant projects, right? You know what a task is for you. People like to get a little cheeky with that one and being like, oh, only 7 things? Like, well, I just checked 7 emails. Am I done? Stop it. Stop. You know what a task is for you. You know. So basically, if you do anything after this episode, like if I were to give you a homework assignment, I want you to consider how long of a break you personally need to feel healed and recharged. Until you know this, you cannot take the steps to heal your brain. Next, let's talk more about prevention. So, well, this is how I prevent my burnout, and this is how I've made time for myself. Keep in mind, I have made these changes over a year. These are the changes I made for myself in 2022, and it took me 12 months to implement all these. So I don't want you to feel like you have to make all these big changes. Literally, one at a time, is sufficient. So first off, I have 2 days that are just not in my planner. These dates are still available for big notes, like it's blah blah's birthday or Joan's tea party, but these days are not available for work tasks. It's really simple. I have my Excel sheet or my spreadsheet that I plan my life on, and I just don't put work in there. It's not even on the sheet. Like in when I'm working, it doesn't even show that those days exist. I limit my social media time to 1 hour a day, and this is something I started doing a few months ago, and I've stuck with it. It's actually much easier than you think. Now, it's not perfect, right? Like there are some days that you just need more doom scrolling. You're stuck waiting for a doctor for 3 hours. Enjoy Instagram, you know, but I do try to not be on social media every day because that is stimulation. That is stimulating your brain, and it is a part of burnout. Taking a sip of my lovely tea. I do plan for days off. Luckily, I do control my schedule. And every single month, I take my week of work and I put that week of work into 4 days, giving me 1 extra day off a week. Now, you may not be able to do this based on your job, but even if you're at the office in a 9-to-5 capacity Monday through Friday, if you're able to do a little extra work Monday through Thursday, it'll make Friday a little easier for you, a little bit more of a breath of air. Now, here's the thing. This doesn't always work, right? We have to do our best to implement these ideas based off of our personal lives. So if we do not get full days off to do whatever we want, it skews our work reward balance. So a big part of burnout is there being a skew in your work and the reward for that work. And we're living in like end of times capitalism. So this is huge for absolutely everybody. So we need to do our best to try to make that work in our favor the best we can. You'll never feel satisfied if your work reward balance isn't pretty equal. And that's not a good thing. I mean, have you ever had a day when you were able to just be in bed like an extra hour and then drag your feet as you eat breakfast and then go to Target and get a coffee and just walk around without worrying about the time? Like, it's simple, but that fills our reward center. Okay, next is ritual. Holy crap, ritual. I have started planning my rituals within my calendar. I treat it like it's as important as going to work. I plan the store trip, the cleanup time, and then I plan nothing after so I can just bask in that energy. I never realized how important my monthly ritual was until I hadn't done it for a few months and I started to feel stagnant. I mean, witches, you can feel it, right? You can feel when the magic has stagnated. So in the Hectic Witches Planner, we have ritual planners to help you make your rituals a priority, okay? Another way I have managed to help try to push off burnout, and again, this doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me. I spend the first hour in my morning not working. So I walk my dog, I leisurely drink my coffee, and I zhuzh around the house. And this is new for me. I used to wake up and immediately start working. So I'd be sending emails at 6 a.m. because I wake up with all engines going, right? So I stopped doing this. I realized it wasn't good for me and I completely stopped. And since I have stopped, other witches have told me how amazing my home feels. And not just because you know, it's clean or it's cute. It's because I pour time and energy into my home every day. My space has a major impact on my mental health. If it's crowded, chaotic, or disorganized, my brain can't relax. I've even found I'll avoid going to friends' homes if their spaces are chaotic when I'm burnt out. And it's just because it's more stimulation than I can take because I'm already burnt out and my brain can't relax in those spaces. So for me, my biggest piece of advice for you that I've done and that has worked for me is every day go into one room of your house, be in it for a few minutes, and ask yourself what needs to happen in this room for it to feel good. This may take time for a project. If so, write it in your planner. It could be something as simple as changing a light bulb, but you just didn't have time before. But if you make purpose to go into a room every day for a few minutes, that is now suddenly time you have to change that light bulb. And suddenly that space is going to feel really good to your spirit and your brain. Giving this time and care to your space not only soothes your anxieties and your brain, but it also feeds into the spirit of your house. And I had a witch friend of mine come over to do my hair, and she walked in and she's like, I've been in other witches' homes before, but there is an energy here. And she's like, I can tell that you work, the spirit of this house, that you like feed the magic. Or I don't remember her exact words, but it was exactly what I wanted my home to feel like. And it's because I am every single day pouring love into my space and it feeds me back and it takes care of me back. Now, if you're an introvert, saying no to social obligations that you have no interest in. So introverts are often asked to overstep their boundaries in the name of social politeness. But when you're burnt out, you don't have that extra wiggle room to suck it up. You just don't. So say no. Say no. Introverts are constantly being told to overstep this boundary, But again, when you're burnt out, you just don't have the space. If they don't understand or they don't care or won't meet you on your level, then your friends are free to move on. So all of that being said, like I said before, I did not implement these overnight. They happened slowly over the year and gradually. Implementing one thing that'll ease your heart and your brain will help you move closer to feeling better and less overworked. All right, witches. So that was a big topic for one day, but I'm so happy we got through it together. And please consider checking out the Hectic Witches 2023 Planner. There are monthly and weekly spreads, perfect for writing in your daily 7 tasks, as well as blocking out days that are just for you. There's plenty of monthly sections to add in to-dos, to-buys, to remember. We also have coloring sheets in the back of the planner based off of our Witch Daily Oracle deck. So when you need to take your 15-minute break after 45 minutes of work, you can just sit there and color. It's really fun. Also, a quick little note, we did create a workbook based off of this series. If you need help writing these things down, if you need help brainstorming, which will make more sense tomorrow, we do have a workbook just created for this series on our Patreon for all of our Patreon fam. You can download it. We give you sections to write out ideas for different things. And yeah, I just want everyone to feel really good this year. That's my goal. My goal is to help you feel great. And that's it. So yeah, that's it. I'm done. Tomorrow we're going to talk about goal setting, making time for your goals, how to set goals in a way that's not stressful, and how to stick to your goals. And yeah, so we're going to wrap up this episode. We went a little over. That's why we're skipping some sections this week. But it matters to me. I just really missed you guys, and I really love spending this time with you. And I want to give you something that makes you feel really good. And I want you to care about how you feel and your bodies and your minds, and I just want you all to have good things. I know it seems silly, but it's just true. All right, witches, we're wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to Tammy Ann. Tammy, you charming, bombastic Wendigo. Lilith, you golden, dreamlike unicorn nurse. Dawn Howard, Dawn, you scrumptious, luminous dragon. And finally, Lori Sanderson. Lori, you esoteric, hospitable sunset. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And that's it. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them, no one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements, because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal, with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.